You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, yesterday I had the very lovely opportunity to speak to Booth the Clown and Jack Darling, who are both incredible and very funny New Zealand comedians from Te Whanganui Tara, who are heading to Auckland next week to perform their show Delightful. And I spoke to them about all that good stuff, and it was a lot of fun. All right, so before we discuss your upcoming show for the, or upcoming Auckland show for the New Zealand International Comedy Festival, I want to discuss a little bit about your guys' history. To start with here, how did you both get into comedy in the first place, and why do you perform as a duo?
Good question. We both have different origin stories as to how we kind of slipped and fell into comedy. For me, it was this kind of period of going from burlesque dancing to being a drag king to being a circus performer to being a clown to doing comedy.
Fair
a
enough.
Natural slippery slope.
Oh, very slippery slope there.
Progression.
And what mine sort of started, I started doing like public speaking, and then just was really like, just if they're laughing they're listening. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh wait, it's all I'm trying to do is make them laugh. And I was like, oh, this is stand up. Yeah. And then the way that we formed as a duo, we both just sort of saw each other's stuff and was like, actually this is quite complimentary. This is quite, we both exist in this very sort of 50s 60s aesthetic sort of
Like queer nostalgia. It's like this is what the nostalgia, like old school kind of period would be if folks were cooler about us being queer.
Yeah.
It's like we're reinventing the past.
Fair enough.
And I want to kind of like whimsical.
Yeah. Apologies. No, you're all good. And I guess I want to know how your previous experience with like burlesque for you, Booth, and public speaking for you, Jack, has sort of transitioned into comedy. Was it kind of a awkward transition at first, or were you guys just kind of both confident heading into comedy?
In my case, I've always been a funny, silly, goofy person. So to do burlesque, I wanted to, it was basically like I'd moved from Auckland to Wellington. I'm like, no one knows who I am. No one knows I'm a silly, goofy guy. This is my time to be seductive and try and convince people that I'm this cool harlot. and I'm just gonna hide that I'm funny until I'm a little while down so people can think I'm sexy. And then I gave up on that. I mean, it's still a part of me, it still exists. Hey, I'm still keen for a burlesque gig. But what it taught me is that I like to be in charge of my own narrative and how I like to present myself and manage what it is that I perform, as opposed to something like acting where you have a script and a predetermined role. I felt I was able to kind of express myself truer and actually, like, I was in charge. You know, you end up learning how to make all the tearaways and the get really DIY crafty on it. And that all kind of, and how to build an act as well, how to build suspense. And that all started, all played together into my comedy transition.
Perfect. Sounds awesome.
And I feel like my public speaking, I went and studied theatre at Victoria University. And then that was sort of like I was doing theatre and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in the acting theatre world. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, actually I quite like having my own creative control. And since I was doing comedy on the side, that ended up just becoming my main medium of like performance, because I was like, oh wait, I don't need to meet up or organize rehearsals. I can just do it all in my room, all on my own.
Heck yeah.
And then starting to incorporate that theatrical side as well, doing the lights, putting some soundtracks in there. I was like, this is as creatively fulfilling as theatre, but also I'm going to be funny now as well.
Yeah.
So you guys really just like dove straight into the deep end. It sounds like you had to do a lot of your own work yourself heading into your sort of comedy.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, I mean, like the sort of mentorship you get is through like other comedians in the scene, but there's no degree in comedy, and the only way you can learn is like trial by fire. And such a big, like, important part of comedy is sort of finding your own artistic voice, and nobody can teach you that.
For sure.
That is like you learn that on stage.
Yeah.
And just like writing a joke, you never know it's going to be funny until you say it in front of people.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, thank you.
It's kind of the craft.
Yeah.
Because if you're just reciting jokes that or acts that you didn't create yourself, you're an actor. You're not necessarily the originator of the comedy, you know?
Now, speaking more towards Delightful, which, as I said earlier, will be in Auckland as of next week, what should people expect with the show?
They should expect camp.
They should expect silliness.
Magic.
Absurdity.
A little bit of vulnerability?
Yeah, cool. That's right. We get a little bit sincere.
The ultimate sin.
Glitz, some glamour, some fabulousness, some
a little bit of raunchiness. It's a bit of a sexy show.
Really?
It's a little sexy. And it's just because we're in a
right. We're not funny anymore. We're just sexy. We're going back to Boots Burlesque.
Hell yeah. What has the planning process, I guess, been like for Delightful?
Oh, it was really harmonious because genuinely how it all came together was Jack called me up and said, "Do you want to make a show?" And I went, "Oh my goodness!" You know, it was like a promposal. I was like, "I do." And we kind of went into it going like, "We sort of know each other. We hope we work well together." We just had a Rolodex of acts that are tried and true, that just formulated nicely into this narrative that we concocted together. It was a matter of just kind of putting stuff on sticky notes and swapping things around on sticky notes.
There was this really cool thing, I think, going into it, because when two comedians come together and go, "Do you want to do a show together?" Usually they do like a half an hour each. And it's just sort of this double bill, and it's just a way of like expanding your sets. But then when we came together, we ended up really like making like an emphasis on making these duo pieces where we were not performing separately, but we were performing together. And yeah, there's just something. So when we started like testing out the material, we just got so many compliments on our chemistry and our, like, it was such like a validating thing of like, oh wait, no, there's something special in this duo that we can't do individually. But like, yeah. And so it's been a very cool process.
Heck yeah. We were getting feedback from folks being like, "You two must have worked together for years." Kind of like, "It's been a month."
Yeah.
And have there been any challenges with working as a duo?
I would say probably our main challenge now is getting when people compare us to each other.
Yeah.
I would say that's been probably the hardest thing is, because the thing that we find so special about it is that we're creating something together that we couldn't do on our own. And then we get feedback from people being like, "Oh, I liked this better," or "I liked that better," right? And we're like, no, we don't want you to put one of us on a pedestal. Like, what works about this is that we're together.
100%. It's like, this is a partnership born out of mutual respect from each other. We've just become really, dare I say, really sweet friends along the way, like real ride or die right here. And so it's this, you get this thing of like, even, you know, even per se, if, you know, they were to say, "Booth, you're incredible," and Jay, blah, 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 I'm like, "Hey man, that's my friend. Like, that's someone that I really respect. And your opinion is, I'm sorry, wrong, but because Jack's incredible."
That's very lovely to hear.
Yeah, I'd say that's the main one.
Fair enough. And the show is described as being unapologetically queer cabaret. How does queerness come into play with Delightful?
I mean, with both of us being in it, it's changed. quite a big queer part of it would be just the two of us. I would say the way that we present is so, like, the way that, I mean, I'm AMAB, so assigned male at birth, and I present in a very feminine way, very high glamour, and Booth plays my counterpart. Plays this very... My seedy little husband.
Yeah, I get described as uncle energy.
Oh.
And so we create this very... Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about as well.
You're trying to say pervert nicely.
Very endearing pervert.
Pervert.
I mean, I just think those are two words that shouldn't be used together. An endearing pervert.
What was that?
Those are just two really interesting words to put together.
Two words together.
And
we're both gender fluid. It's part of our material in the show. It's part of who we are innately. We want to both of us within our agenda, and not just being non-binary, want to, like, comedy is an excellent tool to sort of breach that gap that I think comes with, you know, this. It's new-ish, I suppose, being non-binary, but it's a way we can kind of connect and educate people in a way that's, like, not super serious and, like, confronting, and get to make jokes about it and be like, we're just people, and we recognize we're not going to cancel you. We're not like these militant.
And it's just like normalizing our identities through performing in a way that is being unapologetically ourselves and being in a way that's, like, yeah, just uncompromising to our audiences, which I think is quite a cool way to be.
Yeah. Wasn't even something that we necessarily fully, you know, consciously were like, yeah, we're gonna be gay in a show.
Yeah, fair enough.
We're gay in life.
Yeah.
One of those beautiful things where sometimes people are like, oh, all your material, like, do you do, like, queer material? I'm like, I'm queer. All of my material is queer.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, like, I live a queer experience. No matter what I say, it's gay. Yeah.
And we love to see it. And we love to hear it. And so you two are also both nominees for the Billy T Award for 2025, which, congrats, what an honour. This award celebrates fresh talent in Aotearoa's comedy industry. How exciting is this nomination for the both of you?
Oh, exciting. Like,
yeah. You know,
just the most exciting thing, if not ever. Well, ever, like, in our careers thus far, like, it's incredibly validating and to be recognized as, like, yeah, with our goal. It gets me so excited that I struggle to articulate how excited I am about.
Look, I work in radio. My job is to talk, and I cannot articulate myself. It is it's a difficult thing to do. It's a real struggle.
I think people can read between the lines. You know, we can give them let the people imagine our excitement and imagine an articulate. For all the listeners at home, imagine we've just said something very articulate, very just being articulate again.
To summarize our chat, maybe how can people find out more about the show and buy tickets and come along?
Well, I highly recommend Googling up Delightful, spelled Delight, F-O-O-L. You can see us on the Comedy Fest website. You can follow us on Instagram. I'm at Booth the Clown.
And I'm at Jack.Darling. Also, there's no C in Jack, just J-A-K.
Boom, sure. Yeah. And you'll probably be able to find us through it. If you seek us, you will find us.
Follow the smell, follow your nose, and you'll get there.
Follow the fruity smell.
That was the lovely Booth the Clown and Jack Darling, who were heading up to Auckland to perform Delightful as a part of New Zealand International Comedy Fest. Tickets are available on the website there, and they will be performing at the Basement Theatre from the 20th of May to the 24th.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.